Right, I've given myself 20 minutes. Let's do this. Hello, welcome to episode 2 of Sportaholic with me, Joshua Kerr. Had a week off last week. Well, a week off this podcast. It wasn't a week off entirely. I was a guest on the Regen e-Racing podcast. You can go check that out, presented by Dean Warwick. Thanks to Dean for inviting me on that. If you're listening, hi Dean. So thanks for that. That was lovely. We just had a. It was a general chat really about Formula One and Formula E. Some next steps really for motorsport, how it gets underway. Some driver partnerships, stuff like that. So yeah, go check that out. That's on his podcast. It was released on Thursday. We recorded it on Wednesday, and it was released on Thursday. I would highly recommend you give it a listen, but I'm biased because I'm in it. But yeah, it was a nice chat with him. So that's why we didn't have a podcast last week, because I was doing a little bit of prep for that, because I realised, I've kind of forgotten some stuff Formula One wise, because I only really got back to writing and podcasting and doing all this stuff 2 weeks ago, when after trying every like book reviews and picking new music and stuff like that, I thought, what the heck am I doing? Let's come back to sport, my true calling. So I'm back with this. So yeah, my knowledge was a bit rusty. It's been a whole month since the Australian Grand Prix. We should have been 4 Grand Prix in by now. I'm not going to I mean, I could reference that every time, but it just seemed more depressing the longer we go on. So yeah, plenty of ideas about how Formula One could get underway again. Problem is, it's all hypothetical. So you could think of a million and one different ways, but we still don't have a concrete timescale. In the Sunday papers here in the UK, the Sunday Times was reporting how the government were... There was this some kind of plan, which, knowing our government, I have no idea whether it's true or not. But anyway, it was some kind of plan saying they wanted to start the ball rolling from the 11th of May, opening up primary schools and year 10, year 12 lessons, because they'll be doing GCSEs and A-levels next year. And then progressively non-essential shops, well, hairdressers, essential, non-essential, discuss. But places like that, and then in July, the next wave would come through, so more types of shops would be open, like bookshops, essential, not essential, discuss, you know. And then eventually, once a vaccine is available, over 70s can officially live normal lives. Because, of course, the most vulnerable members in society will still be vulnerable even after the lockdown until there's a vaccine. It's like, it's just a disclaimer, coronavirus, flu similarities, I'm not going into that. That's not my job. But I'm just saying, these are the same sorts of people who are vulnerable to the flu. Therefore, are eligible for free flu jabs. It would be probably the same with a coronavirus vaccine. So that's that. But according to that set of plans, sport and public gatherings is one of the last priorities on the list. At the moment, every Grand Prix up to France, which was scheduled to be held on June the 28th, has been postponed. So that would mean that it does mean that the first Grand Prix scheduled at the moment is Austria on the weekend of July the 5th. And there was an article in an, I don't know if they were a newspaper, but an Austrian, in the Austrian news, Helmut Marko talking about midweek races. Now that's an idea that I hadn't really thought of, that not many people thought of, whereby the same racetrack, you have a race on, in the scenario if the Austrian Grand Prix went ahead as plan, so to speak, you'd have the regular Grand Prix weekend, the 3rd to the 5th of July, and then on the 8th of July, the Wednesday after the Grand Prix weekend, you would have a midweek race. Thereby, two races in the 1 week at the same circuit. My problem with that, of course, at the moment, I have no idea what my life in terms of a job is going to be like after lockdown is lifted and life goes back to normal, inverted commas, whatever normal is, whatever the new normal is. But anyway, midweek races, you could go down the argument, oh, you need to try something new. Stop being in your old crusty traditional ways. Grand Prix are on Sundays. That is where you get the maximum viewers, the maximum people at the track, because it's a weekend, the vast majority of people have it off. That's the way it's been, and that's the way it works. That's the way most sport works. But holding it on a Wednesday, what time are you going to host it on the Wednesday? I mean, you could host it towards the evening. That could limit the possible adverse impact on audience figures, or do you hold it in the middle of the day, which in my opinion is just ridiculous? Or is it a case of we've lost at least 3 months of a world championship, or 3 months of time to hold world championship races? Do we just have to chuck out the old and just try to get a world championship season? Eight rounds are needed to constitute a world championship. But John Todt came out this morning and said he hopes to have a season with 15 to 18 Grand Prix, which in my opinion is stupid. And we must remember in all of this that we cannot rush. We must wait. Formula One is not a priority. We must wait until everything has died down. That could be a very long time. We may have to ease stuff in gradually. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. All we can do is speculate, and that's all this is. But one thing I do have an opinion on in terms of all this is that you cannot keep the... Nobody can keep the mindset of we are going to hold between 15 and 18 races this year, or this season, or the season that goes into January. It's just ridiculous. It's too many in a too short space of time. It is going to be backbreaking for everybody involved. And we were already looking at a record-breaking 22-race season over the course of, 8, 9 months. And that was already looking like it was going to be very difficult. You've got to think of the backroom staff, the people who work so hard, not just at the Grand Prix weekends, but in the factories in between. They barely see their families. It's a tough job at the best of times, but to try and cram races into as many races into a short space of time, in my opinion, is bad. I suppose from the commercial point of view, it's trying to make as much money as possible, but to be honest with you, while that is important to an extent in the way that capitalism runs the world, we've got to sit back and think, well, we don't need to break ourselves. This is an optional thing. But we cannot scrap the season altogether. Because if we do that, the financial implications and also the future of our sport is at risk. Some teams may not survive that. And that is a thing that must be bore in mind. Oh, I have no idea. Anyway, it must be bared in mind or bore in mind or whatever it is. It's something to think about. So yeah, it has an impact anyway. It's still gonna have an impact. We've got to wait and see, really. We can speculate, reverse layouts, change to the weekend timetable. A super season, I read, maybe not so much of a thing now. A super season, if you haven't been following all of this, is one where the WET Championship, the World Endurance Championship, operates, something like this. Currently, whereby you hold some of the races in this case 2020 and some of the races in 2021, and the idea with that was we would start. I mean, at the moment it's anywhere between July and October. An optimistic one is July. A slightly more realistic one, you could say, would be October, whereby you start there, and then it just continues straight through to 2021, and your champion will be declared at the end of 21. I'm not sure on the sporting regulations on that, the validity of the championship. I mean, I'm sure it would still be official and all that. I mean, they'll have to change the rule. This is an uncharacteristic, unforeseen, once-in-a-generation event. That has completely thrown the worlds off course. Unless you're in New Zealand, where it's currently going fantastically. They're moving off stage 4 lockdown next week, I think, back to stage 3, social distancing, which is not as strict as lockdown. But anyway, that's that. I popped an article on The Raw a fortnight ago, where What Next for Formula One, I think. I can't remember the exact headline, but it does discuss some of these options. You have to read it in the context of 2 weeks ago. Some stuff has changed since then, but not a lot has changed. We'll have to wait and see for that one. Still a few more weeks. Lockdowns and government's approach will be a key thing as well. Belgium has banned outdoor gatherings and outdoor events, public events, until August 31st. So that would have wiped out the Belgian Grand Prix anyway, which is due to be held on the weekend of August 30th. France has banned public gatherings and events until July. And that's meant that the Tour de France has been moved to the middle of August. But it's things like that. And the behind closed doors argument is a ridiculous one, because the amount of personnel that's involved in Formula One these days, the media, just for one team, there's hundreds of people involved. And there would just be no point. You might as well just invite everybody. And also there's another argument saying, what's the point behind closed doors? Might as well hold it in front of everybody to get the full atmosphere. And also there's no point starting it and stopping it again. AFL, just use that as an example. Tried this. The first round was held behind closed doors, and then it's been suspended ever since. So you don't want a stop-start kind of championship. But that's that anyway. During the lockdown, I've been doing a series for The Raw on Formula One in 1999, looking back on the entire season, as all but one of the races is available in full on F1 TV. Which, if you are a Formula One fan or interested in Formula One, at the moment, go through the archive, it's fantastic. And in the season, you'll be able to get live timing and whatnot. It is a good investment. I paid £20 for the year, which is pretty good. So yeah, I'm going through that. There's two articles now up on that F1 1999 series on the Raw. The second one's just gone up. The first part looks at the Australian-Brazilian Grand Prix. The second part looks at San Marino, Monaco and Spain. And I watched the Canadian Grand Prix today. Gonna take a breather for a little bit, and then the French Grand Prix, and then those two will probably make up part three of the series. Well, it will be part three because I already committed to saying that the Canada and France would be part three. And I'm going to wait a little bit to talk about that on the podcast. I think I want to record it all as one, so we'll sit down. I'll try and make it an hour review of the 1999 season in audio form. The Supercars E-Series is also something I've been following. That's one of the reasons I'm taking a little breather, because normally I sit down at about 10 o'clock and watch a race and then take the rest of the afternoon off and do nothing. It's brilliant at the moment. Supercars E-Race tomorrow. I think Simona Di Silvestro is a wild card, and Will Power, IndyCar champ, is a wild card as well. And I think they've got some of the Super 2 drivers, which is kind of like the Formula 2 of supercars, and they'll be at Bathurst tomorrow. Sorry for the pauses, I'm just taking a little drink in between. But what I like about it is it's so official. All the drivers are there, in their various sim rigs all across Australia and New Zealand. The broadcast is just like it would be. The camera angle is brilliant. All on iRacing. The coverage is brilliant. It's like a Fox Sports regular supercars coverage. Crompo and Matthew White on the commentary, and they've got some pit lane reporters as well. It's a really well-oiled machine. Compare that to Formula One, which I haven't watched the Virtual E series, because when I watched it, the whole thing was, it's let down by the fact that they're using Codemasters. And I understand that they're probably obliged to use the Codemasters official game, but it's a game, it's not a sim thing. And it's just let down, the coverage isn't good, it's very difficult because you can't direct it too well, because you've just got the spectator mode you're working off of. So it is quite difficult to get a broadcast together, and it's just not as well put together as the Supercars eSports series. If you listen to this podcast before then, it's Wednesday, April 22nd, 10 a.m. UK time, 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. In the UK, it'll be on a channel called Free Sports. Find out where it is. I believe it's everywhere. Freeview, Freesat, Sky, Virgin Media. Go to their website, type it in on Google. You'll find all the details there. In Australia, it's on Fox Sports. They've got exclusive coverage of the qualifying as well, which I believe is 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Fox Sports are showing it. Twitch, the Supercars Championship Twitch page. 10play. So it's got some decent coverage. So yeah, go check that out at Bathurst, which is just going to be brilliant. If it's going to be the same as the first two rounds, it's going to be amazing. So that's it for today's edition of Sportaholic. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it. Before I leave, I just want to recommend to you the new single by 21 Pilots. It's called Level of Concern. It was written and it's been written and recorded during this current coronavirus outbreak, and it touches on hope during this difficult time. The song will explain it better. But go check that out. I've tweeted that out at Joshua_T_Kerr on Twitter. Twitter is the best place to find me, to talk to me. Happy to talk to anybody who wants to be talked to or wants a conversation. So yeah, that's that. Level of Concern by 21 Pilots. That's it for this week's Sportaholic. Hopefully, back next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.